Hey everybody, this is Josh, just popping in here at the beginning of the episode to let you know that we now have a Patreon. That's right, patreon.com/arewedeadyet. There you'll find a bunch of cool tiers that you can subscribe and help support the show with. Some of the benefits include a shout out in every episode for your social media, small business, online store, whatever. We also have opportunities to join our Discord fan server and chat with the cast. We also have access to full unedited sessions, so you can hear everything that we do over the course of the 3 to 4 hours that we record. It's a lot of fun, so be sure to check that out. That's patreon.com/arewedeadyet. All right, let's get to the show. Sinister secrets and dark truths. Mystical creatures and magical powers, dark dungeons and enlightened paths, all lead us to ask that one question as time marches onward. Are we dead yet? Y'all bedded down in an inn with run by a Granny Goliath.
Oh, yeah.
A kind old woman who, you know, charged you some money. But other than that, it's a pretty nice place. I think for the ease of the flow that I have set up here, we will start with Eberus. You find sleep during the night comes very easily, even despite the two or three near-death experiences that you experienced down below.
Yeah, I'll sleep it off.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where you kind of just undressed and hit, you know, you were asleep before your head hit the pillow kind of a thing. And during the night, you have what can only be described as a holy vision. You stand in a stone room full of weapons all over the wall. Battle axes, swords, shields, all the good stuff, right? At the back of this room, seated upon a massive throne of blades, is an equally massive shining being. He crackles with lightning, and a soft blue glow is like emanating from his body. And this glow is so, even though it's a soft glow, it's bright enough that it blocks out any kind of defining features of like his face. But you know in your heart that this is Kord, the Lord of Storms and Battles, the god that you worship and seek to appease for your failure in the past. And above him and behind him on the wall hangs a large warhammer that is gleaming and crackling with energy. And you are standing before your god.
After a few seconds of stunned, motionless, Eberus is going to drop to one knee and bow and say, "My lord, what would you have me do?"
Eberus Stoneoath. Oh, please stand up. There's no need to be so formal. You put on quite the show down in the depths, if I do say so myself. I was quite impressed. You even fell in battle twice, and yet you persevered. You have shown that your heart is as fierce as the mightiest storms. I cannot tell you how pleased I am with your performance down there.
Oh, my lord. Your praise means everything to me.
I am glad that you have kept faith in me, despite your surroundings in a city that chooses not to acknowledge individual gods. You are quite the faithful servant to me, and after witnessing your deeds, I have found that you are worthy to carry on in my name. And he stands up and reaches out his massive hand towards the hammer that's on the wall, turns around, reaches it out to you, palm up. And this hammer, you know, like size comparison, this hammer looks like a toy in this person's hand, like a Lego or something. You know, it's just the scale is crazy here. He reaches it out to you and he says, "I name you Stormbringer. Take this, my hammer, and bring forth the fury of the storms in my name. In time, you will find those responsible for raising the continent of Eumoris. And when that time comes, you will teach them the error of their ways." And with those final words, he hands you the hammer.
Fuck yeah, get.
Yeah?
Ebris is gonna, do I wake up instantly, or is it like...
No, he's holding it out to you. Him? You're yeah.
Okay, then, he'll reach out and take it, and say, "I'll smite in your name, Lord."
Excellent, excellent. Well, you'd better wake up. It's gonna be a busy day. And with that, the room fills with holy blinding light. And then you awaken in your bed at the inn. Clutched in one hand is that shining, gleaming hammer gifted to you by your god. And I believe I've already sent you the description of the hammer. But for the sake of everybody else, I'll let you know what it does. And I sent the correction to you as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, this is the Warhammer of Kord. It's a +2 bonus to attack and damage rolls. It's considered a magic weapon. It has 5 charges. When you hit with a melee attack, you can expend a charge to deal an extra 2d6 lightning and 2d6 thunder damage. The hammer's electrum head gives it the silvered weapon property. And the hammer constantly crackles with thunderous energy, emitting a dim light in a 10-foot radius around the hammerhead. So, Ebris, you get a cool shiny new hammer.
Dope. Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's early morning, you know, perfect time to get up, do some training or, you know, get some food, whatever you want to do.
Well, I'm guessing around this point is when, or in the morning, would be when our little training montage thing would go on.
Sure, you're going to go wake up Fora and do a little training?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know what Vora's got going on, so Ebris will probably just do his shopping and wait in the inn for Vora to wake up.
So real quick, as you're kind of getting ready to head out and do some early morning shopping or something, you notice on your bedside table is your small golden tongue, little trinket that you picked up a while ago. And you don't really remember seeing it for a while, but there it is, sitting on the bedside table next to a note. And the note says, "It looks like you're one of the good ones. Sorry, friend." And then there's a little cat paw print on the note.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, he hasn't even noticed it's gone. He hasn't reached into his money pouch.
Yeah.
Since then, so I guess he would look at it quizzically and be like, "Guess I dropped it. Thanks, friend." And he's not going to put two and two and get together and realize that the cat paw is Chester's.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a whole clafia in this city. Could this be anyone.
That's true. It could be anyone.
You wanted to do your shopping then?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm definitely... Man, I want those dimensional shackles. But I'm definitely going to pick up the counterspell shield. And I really want the lesser restoration and druidcraft ring. But I'll be 50 gold short for both of them.
Ah, sounds like you need to do some bargaining.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Could always get help from a little kobold dude.
This is true. You could wake Vora up and go with him. You know, you guys could plan your day together.
Upon going outside, you see Vora. Well, what's the outside look like?
So outside this inn, there's like this nice little garden with like a fountain and some benches and just a really well kept kind of floral display out here for quiet contemplation and
a perfect place to pray to gods.
Pray to gods, relax, plot your next heist, whatever.
So outside in this garden, Vora is actually currently praying to Asgarath, basically the god of his gods.
Okay.
Praying for guidance in, you know, basically having his day blessed as he is hoping to meet with the ambassador of the kingdom that he is on the side of. Once again, I have forgotten.
Kingdom of Ludol or the Republic of Stormmoor?
I believe it was the Republic of Stormmoor, but he is planning on meeting both today.
You know what? Let's make this fun. Go ahead and roll a religion check.
Are you kidding me? That's a nat one.
Oh no.
Way to start the day off, ladies and gentlemen.
Get it out of the way early, as long as we're not in a fight. Or anything.
Yeah, go ahead and roll your percentage then. We'll see how bad this goes.
God.
You just get like smited out of nowhere.
Just get smote.
You misspeak his name and get struck by lightning.
That's 60%.
Okay, nothing happens now, but there might be a consequence later. The god's favor will not shine on you in a moment.
So
basically,
right.
You'll have the reverse of inspiration. I was trying to give you a point of inspiration for later, but you will randomly be overcome with disadvantage at some point, I guess.
Fuck.
Disinspiration.
Yeah.
Put a minus instead of a tally inside of my inspiration square.
Yeah. So, Ebrus, I guess you come out to the garden and you see... You see Vora pray in there.
And he's going to walk up to him and say, "Ah, you're up already. Excellent. What are your plans for this morning?"
Well, once I've finished praying to the gods...
Oh, my apologies.
I was just about finished. I got a bad feeling about it anyways. I was planning on doing some ambassadorial work, but, you know... That's not until way later in the afternoon. I had some shopping I wanted to go do, too.
Aye, me as well. But I think we also need to get to your strength up a little bit.
Oh?
Aye. Kobolds, most of them are scrawny. But it's not their fault. It's a lack of nutrition, lack of proper training. I can get you up to snuff. Just a bit. Just a little bit of work.
Vora looks at his... big guns for being a kobold with his plus one strength.
Well, this is to like
in Chris is trying
lore
to narratively...
wise to accommodate that, like, oh, okay. why I'm buff now.
Okay, so he's like, well, we'll see what you can do then.
Yeah, you guys have a quick little morning workout then.
Yeah, just the whole scene is set up like Team America World Police, the montage scene, the song playing in the background.
Yes.
Cuts out a bunch of different scenes where, like, yeah, I'm like holding a punching bag and Vora's like slamming into it and we're doing the Rocky run up the stairs and all that stuff, doing some bench pressing. And at the end of it, just sweating, like, yeah, nothing beats a good montage.
Super meta.
Yeah,
yeah, that montage was exhausting.
You can only do it maybe once in a decade or so, but once it comes around, you feel it. You know the time.
Yeah, so after this, you guys hit up the shops. There's really the best place to go to buy magic trinkets and items and such is a little place. It actually here in District 53. It doubles as a museum. It's called Moriarty's Oddities. I don't know if your characters have heard about it before, but you could roll a history check if you want to kind of see what you might know about the place.
Let's see if I can get another nat one.
I'll assist
nat
you.
Nat one.
I rolled a
nat
two.
One.
So we'll pick that assistance.
So Eberus said he's gonna assist you. So
how's a five in total?
Oh yeah, no. You've heard Moriarty is probably a really nice guy, really cool, really clean cut, right above the board. Nothing fishy there at all.
A villain in a fantasy book of some kind, you know, about detectives and police work.
Yeah, the fantasy book Warlock Holmes.
Love it.
Watson's his sassy closet familiar.
Yeah. So you arrive at Moriarty's Oddities. Outside, this building is just a crazy black building with kind of like a gothic theme going on. There's like gargoyles and statues, and it totally looks creepy.
Looks totally awesome.
Yeah, very, very Adams Family vibe going on. So.
I imagine every other building and shop is just normal.
Yep.
Completely normal, and then this is like a haunted house looking place right up next to it.
Yeah.
Oy, not ominous at all.
Absolutely.
And you guys head in. Inside, there's actually a table that looks about Vora's size, maybe a little taller. So it's definitely run by a small folk here. As you walk in, the bell above the door jingles, and rising slowly up from behind the desk is a small little stout goblin, and he says, "Oh, customers, yes, hello. Oh, do come in. Are you here for shopping or to view the museum?"
Oh, this is a museum? That's pretty wicked.
Oh, yes. We double as a shop/museum. I have a number of oddities on display here from my many journeys through the multiverse.
Aye, and are you Moriarty?
Indeed.
Nice to meet you, sir. What will it take to peruse your museum here?
Oh, free of charge. Please step this way. And he motions to a room off to the left that has kind of like a black curtain pulled down. Very kind of, if you've ever been to like Ripley's Believe It or Not down in Newport, it's got kind of that vibe going on inside.
Pretty cool.
Everest follows.
Sure. He leads you through kind of pointing out a few displays here and there. He points to a bone crown that has a large emerald set into it. And he says, this crown was made from real dragon bones. Oh, this one took me quite a while to get my hands on, but it's a priceless artifact, really.
Where is it from?
Here and there.
All right.
He weaves you along. He points out like a couple like suits of armor that were worn by like famous knights and stuff like that. He finally arrives at the back of the shop of the museum, and he says, "And this," and he points to this small sphere with a bunch of carvings and runes on it. He says, "This is a special device that I had to acquire from the Mages Guild themselves. This is the Holy Hand Grenade of Trico. One of a kind. Very powerful. But don't touch. It could go off and then you wouldn't want to know what happens after that."
I so want to pull up like the entire description of the Holy Hand Grenade that they give. And just like start like see the description and then start reading it.
Pull the pin and counteth to three. But not two.
Four is no
and
good.
Five is right out. One, two, five.
Risa. Right.
I take it the Holy Hand Grenade isn't for sale.
It is not. He just got this item and probably doesn't want to part with it at this point. But he, after leading you through the museum...
Just imagining some like crazy mage to hide in the corner and mage hand the pin off.
Oh god!
Just like run out the front door.
there's no pin. There's just a big shiny red button on the top of it.
Even oh, okay. Better. I was expecting it to literally be like the prop in the movie where it's a rock with a cross sticking out of it.
Oh. He leads you through the museum and stops at like a merchant's kind of shelf. There's a desk, and then behind him there's a shelf with a bunch of items on it. He holds out a list of items that he has available for sale and says, just take your pick. I've got quite a bit here to choose from. And, well, we'll see what we can do about getting you equipped.
Josh, I have a question.
Yes, my friend.
Is the cookie still there?
Oh, they aren't in the room that you were in.
Oh, never mind. Oh, okay. We got taken to the special room. Okay.
Yeah, you got taken to the VIP lounge.
Never mind then.
Business up front, party in the back.
Got
oh
it.
Oh my. Alrighty then. Well, Vora eventually comes to the counter with a ring of druidcraft, a number of of health potions, one superior, two greater, and two minor. And then this it says refill lesser restoration on it, blue potion. And he's like, ooh, sparkly. And then for him, they would be sandals of speed.
Sure. Get your little kobold toes in there, huh?
Get my kobold toes in there, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and he looks over all your items and gives you the total and just says, so will you be paying in gold or gold?
Yes, I have the third option, which is gold.
Oh, even better.
And since I'm paying completely up front, maybe we can be more friendly here and get things a little cheaper, eh?
Yeah, sure. How much did you calculate out that to be again?
Oh gosh, I gotta reverse math.
No, you're fine.
So I had 1733 and I have 83 left, right? Meant reverse
1733.
Math.
Okay, 1650. Cool. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, he starts kind of giving an offer. He gives an offer. I could be persuaded to bump that down to an even 600 for you, I suppose. I mean, you are buying so much of my stock, and you brought another customer with you. I suppose I could be kind.
Absolutely. 600 for all of it?
No, 1600. Sorry.
There we go. I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
No, yeah, no, thousand, sorry.
Thousand
fucking
gold off.
Bargain. Yes. Let's go.
Sorry. I might have misspoken. Yeah, 1600. Yeah.
That's fine. Well, should I mention that we are both adventurers who have actually helped save, at the very least, District 53?
Aye, have you heard of the beast that attacked the arena? There was a whole cult planning unleashing much more like him on the whole city.
And we stopped them.
I see. Well.
And this gear will help us in preventing the next disaster in Trico.
So you say. I know adventurers, though. You folk don't stay in one city for too long. You eventually move on and find other places to help with your particular brand of skills.
Aye, but isn't saving the city at once already enough? Any more would be great, but we've already saved it once.
Yeah, one of you guys roll persuasion with advantage. Actually, since yeah,
Vora should do it.
Yeah, since it's Vora's purchase at this point.
That is so much better. Unnatural 20.
Sure. He says, oh, fine. 1,400 is as low as I'll go. Not a penny less.
That would be wonderful.
Sure. In fact, that's so good that we'll give Eberus a little discount as well. Of the 250 that I gave you. So.
Excellent. So a 250 discount?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna get
groovy. I have money again.
What'd you get for potions?
So I got one superior, two greater, and two minor. and then the Lesser Restoration one.
Okay. Yeah, that Lesser Restoration one is pretty dope. I was going to pick it up, but since you got that, I'm going to stock up on some healing potions.
Yeah, it's hard to pass up. Especially, you know, when there's random super poisonous worms laying around.
Yeah. I don't know. You think we'll need two of them? Or does this guy have more than one of these items?
Oh, yeah. I kind of hinted at it, but yeah, this guy basically is an interdimensional traveling gnome.
Okay.
So he's picked up quite a few different items.
These are all his dupes?
Yeah.
All his dupes.
Dupe loot.
Well, I don't think we'll need two. So yeah, I'll go with the counterspell shield, the small silver ring, and then so that's 1,100. And I've got 1,600 total.
So you've got 500 left?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, like, do I want any money left over, or should I just completely fill out on potions? I mean, I'll get one superior, one greater, and one minor for all my money, or two minor.
Okay, sure. Yeah. You hand
Empress
over the gold.
Is broke.
Easy come, easy go.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Moriarty takes your gold, hands over the items, and just gives a little cackle. Thank you. This will fund further research into later expeditions that I take. You are truly wonderful customers. I do appreciate it, but I do have some other meetings to go to, so I must ask you to leave now.
Yeah, okay.
I thank you for your business, sir.
Yeah.
Other way around.
And you head back out into the city. We are going to jump over to Artie real quick before we get to Vora's meeting. Artie.
Yes, sir.
You were dismissed from Justira's chambers last night after giving a full debrief. Oh God. Okay. Artie likes dark elves. Good to know. You wake up in your quarters inside the tower of the Mage Guild HQ. Sitting on your nightstand is something that wasn't there when you left or when you went to bed. There are two tokens with a large M on one side and the symbol of an open eye on the other. Which is the symbol of the Mage Guild, and a note from Bones. And the note just says, "Good work down there, Artie. Here's a payment for a successful mission, plus the hazard pay bonus. Take the tokens down to Quartermaster Crest, and he will get you set up."
Cool. Off to then.
Sure. Yeah. So Quartermaster Crest's chamber, so to speak, is located in the very depths of the Guild HQ's basement. You arrive via a lift that brings you down several floors deep into the earth. You're going to be spending a lot of time underground. As the door opens, there's a long tunnel leading to a set of tall double doors. As you open the door, you come into a room that looks similar to like an evidence lockup kind of room. It's basically like a long desk that kind of runs the length of the room, and then, like, basically coming from like the ceiling to the top of the desk is basically like a cage kind of a situation with just like a small slot to like pass things back and forth between people on either side. And standing behind this cage is just a big old buff human, bald head. He's wearing kind of like overalls, kind of like workers' overalls with like random oil stains all over the place. And he's got a big bushy mustache. And he just kind of beckons you over with like a grunt, like, over here, come on.
What's his name?
Crest.
Crest? And what's my relationship with this guy? I've probably met him a few times, right?
Yeah, you've probably met him a few times. You know that he's not one for a lot of words. He's very, very matter of fact, very businesslike. Just kind of wants to get in and get out.
Cool. Easy said and done then. Yeah, I'll just march right up and throw the coins up onto the counter there.
He says, they paid you well this time, did they? Not none of that garbage gold. Just good old-fashioned tokens. I like this. This is my preferred currency. And he takes your two coins and walks to the back of the room behind the cage. And you see there's like this little kind of square machine that's about 10 feet tall, and it has a little coin slot in it. And it has the letters M-A-R-S plastered across the top. And you know that this machine is called the Magical Augmentation Requisition System, a.k.a. Mars. He sticks your coins into the Mars machine, and go ahead and roll two d20s.
Two d20? do you want them together or separate?
Separate numbers.
Also, nice free premium currency drop. Right. Get that microtransaction in.
Yeah, you get two free tokens, and then after that, it's a dollar for 10.
13 and 5.
Okay.
Wow, what a steal.
So this machine kind of like makes a bunch of weird noises, like some smoke comes out of it a little bit. It kind of looks like it's going to explode for a minute. Like, it's really crazy. And then out pops from in the bottom, there's like a little retrieval door, kind of like you would get from like a claw machine or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he reaches in there and he pulls out two items, and he comes over and he sticks them through the slot. And one of them is a large ruby amulet with a tag on it that says Ruby of the Warm Age. And the other one is a kind of a smaller item, about the size of a keychain. And he lifts his hand away, and it's a keychain-sized sand glass, and it's imbued with magic. And he pulls up a book from like behind the counter, starts flipping through, and he says, "Do you need to know what either of these items do, or are you good?"
I might be better than guessing in the heat of the moment.
Nah, good call. That's always a good call. So, let me just open this link here. So he flips over to the Ruby of the Warm Age, and oh, I'm sorry, it's not a necklace. It's just a ruby. He says, "So basically, you just gotta like hold the ruby to any weapon, and basically that weapon can be used to channel your spells through. So it basically becomes both a weapon and a spell casting focus. So that's what you got there."
Nice.
Basically, it gives you the Warm Age feat, essentially.
Cool.
Talk about a come up. Good roll.
And then the sand glass, basically as a bonus action, you can activate the sand glass. When you do, you restart your turn, regaining any expended actions, reactions used that round. You don't gain any spell slots back, but you basically just earn a free round.
How many uses?
It's a one-time use item.
Gotcha.
This thing will shatter when you use it, so just, you know, don't cut yourself on the glass. Because when sand gets in your wounds, it really hurts. Yeah.
You think it would have been more useful to make it just disappear or something?
Yeah, well, I didn't create the item. I just pushed a button.
Right then.
And then there's also that list of magic items that I sent you, or items in general that I sent you also, that you could purchase from Crest as well.
Yeah, I meant to ask you that earlier. Where was that counterspell one?
Should be kind of towards the middle of the list, but yeah.
The bound items, yeah. The little bronze shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one of those as well.
Oh, yeah.
Nice little guy.
It'll come in handy.
Yeah, I figured we just battled like a ton of powerful wizards. Yeah, that sounds nice.
And then boots of speed. For sure.
Sure. Yeah, he hands those to you through the slot. It says, "Now, you know, don't go selling these on the black market or anything, okay? You bring them back here if you're going to sell them at all, because we don't need a bunch of guild magic getting out everywhere else."
Hey, well, how the hell do you think I make any money out of this job?
He raises an eyebrow at you like, "Wait, are you serious?"
I'm just kidding. Have yourself a laugh once in a while.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Anything else you want to do? You know you have a meeting with Justyra in the afternoon. She didn't tell you what it was about, but just...
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I'd be interested in is gearing up, essentially. So if there's anyone else to go to or anything to do, that'd be it. Otherwise, I'd probably just kind of train and eat and prep.
Sure. Yeah, you go about through your regular, the rest of your kind of regular morning routine. You know, maybe you check your files to see if you have any new assignments, but there's nothing really there. So, yeah, you kind of spend the morning training and gearing up for whatever the head of the Mage Guild has in store for you. Popping back over to Vora real quick. Eberus, did you go with Vora to their meeting with the ambassadors?
He's more than welcome to tag along.
If I'm welcome to come, he will.
Okay.
I'm like Vora's personal bodyguard now. I'm like I'm Vora's Chewbacca.
Yeah. Sorry, Jasper.
I think you guys are just jealous of John and I's partnership.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We're in a couple off couples war.
So Vora and Eberus. So Vora, you know that when you first arrived here in Trico, you actually went straight to the ambassadors for Fimith and Ludal, or for Ludal and Stormmoor. Their district offices are located in District 45. And when you arrived, you were met first with kind of derision a little bit, like, who do you think you are? And after realizing that you weren't going to go away so easily, the ambassador's aide, who was a tiny little halfling who scares easily, relented and decided to give you a ticket to the concert, which sort of set your whole journey into motion here. And now that the concert kind of led to almost your demise, I don't know how you feel about that towards them, but maybe that makes you a little salty. But you are now heading back to their office. Their office is basically co-located in like a small, almost like strip mall type building.
Gotcha.
Like, literally, there's like a thin wall that separates the two rooms, and you can kind of hear conversation going on from the other side of the wall when you're in there. And the same aide works for both of them, so that's kind of weird.
That's kind of funny.
And yeah, you enter. Which building are you gonna head into?
I would like to enter the Republic of Stormmoor's first.
Sure. So you enter the Republic of Stormmoor's office. The ambassador is named Ambassador Griv, and he is a large, bulky minotaur. The aide kind of rushes over. There's like a little door that kind of opens and closes between the two offices, and you hear kind of like scuffling from the other side of the wall as he opens this tiny door and rushes in and sits behind the desk here. And the aide just says,
are you, you're the kobold from the other day, aren't you?
Yes. By the way, those tickets you gave me kind of came out, near-death experience. So, a little agitated about that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We certainly did not mean for that to happen to you.
Near-death experience.
Yes. I do believe we have an opening for actually right now with the ambassador. If you'll just follow me this way, I'll be happy to get you back there.
Perfect.
He hops down from his chair and kind of hobbles to the back and gestures for the two of you to follow him through. And you enter this office and there's this big minotaur sitting at a desk that's like way too small for him. You know, almost Mr. Incredible, you know, kind of
Mr.
dynamic.
Craig Incredible sitting in his cubicle.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a big stack of papers on his desk and he's like signing things and, you know, kind of just ignoring you at first when you come in. And looks up at his assistant and says, God damn it, Sven. I told you, no interruptions today. And Sven says,
Yes, well, sir, you see, this kobold came by a few days ago, and we tried to, you know, we followed your advice and just kind of shoved people off with the tickets, and it almost killed him, so I kind of figured...
You figured he earned a discussion with me just because he almost died? People almost die all the time. Oh, you're so useless. Get out of here. And Sen kind of squeaks and runs away. This minotaur kind of just stands up and kind of towers over you and is just like...
Now, is he a large minotaur or a medium minotaur?
He is a large minotaur.
Oh, my God.
Two sizes up?
Oh. Yeah.
I stand up to his knee.
Yeah. And he just says, you've got 10 minutes. And you hear from the other side of the wall, come on, give him at least 15. Gosh, you're such a jerk. This is why no one likes the Republic. And Griv just says, put a sock in it, Pharaoh. And he sits back down and gestures for you to take a seat.
I climb up into this probably normal person-sized seat.
Yep.
Actually, just to get like within head height of the desk, I stand in the chair.
Sure.
And Mr. Griv. You see, me and my tribe reside in the mountains of Fimith, and we're getting a lot of seismic disturbances from your guys' digging, and we're getting a lot of cave collapses and like deaths, and we want you guys to at least move your operation a little more north.
Okay, wait, you want me to move an entire operation in order to stop your caves from collapsing? Is that what I'm understanding here?
Yes.
I suppose that is possible. We certainly here in the Republic don't condone the needless death of any creature. But you have to understand that there are valuable resources in your mountains that the Republic needs for the upcoming war.
Upcoming war? Aren't you guys like total eclipse fall or whatever?
Oh yeah, we were, but certain, and he starts speaking louder, he's like, certain kingdoms to the west like to, you know, keep secrets from each other. And you just hear this like just exasperated sigh come from the other side of the wall. For the last time, we are not going to invade you.
Yeah, that's what everyone says right before they invade you.
True.
And he says,
what's your name again?
I'm Vorastrix.
Vorastrix, okay. Well, I could certainly help you, I think. I just need, I just might need a little favor. You happen to know any politicians or powerful people here in the city that you might be able to hook me up with? They're kind of giving me the runaround.
Well, I do have a meeting with the head of the Mages Guild later today.
Oh, excellent, excellent. She's a very influential person. Yes, well, man, that's very convenient, actually.
I'd say, and we've got a lot of meetings with Amar Tornella coming up as well.
Oh, you guys run in some big circles. I should have reached out to you sooner.
And the person from the other side of the wall says, are you sure you're not just buying into some bullshit?
Griv says, no, these folks look like honest people. They wouldn't lie.
What was the organization that tasked us with going into the sewer?
Those were the spiders.
The spiders, yeah.
It was Sergeant Rain.
Yeah, just ask Sergeant Rain with the spiders for their report. We'll see what we did for the city. You'll know. We're one of the good guys.
I suppose I could requisition that report, get some of that going. Look, if what you say is true, then could you just get me a meeting with with one of these influential people you happen to know. I've been trying to secure some logging rights for the forest outside Trico, and you know, I've just been hitting brick walls, man, and they're gonna recall me soon. I'm gonna lose my job. And then certain people are gonna invade and kill us all.
And you just hear another sigh from the other side of the wall.
I can do my best. I can't offer any promises, though. Seeing as we have suspicions of AMR, he may not be all that he seems. And the Mage's Guild sounds like an uptight bitch, so... I mean...
Someone you've literally never met.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, you're
we
fine.
Haven't actually met her.
Already has, but that's it. You're fine.
Shit.
You could totally assume that about her. I don't care.
Totally assume. Okay, I'm going to I
think I would assume, like, Mage's Guild.
Mage's people like, are total uptight bitches. Yeah,
mages in general, but then their leadership.
And they're probably super secretive, and yeah, totally.
So I'm going to keep with my uptight bitch comment then.
Okay. Well, that's some strong language and very curious opinions you have about Trico's leadership, but hey, I'm not one to judge people's viewpoints here. You know, as long as they're not gonna invade us.
You could say it's from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, hey, you look, like I said, you scratch my back and I'll see what I can do as far as figuring out a solution for your little kobold problem. And
sounds great.
From the other side of the wall, you hear, I might also have a solution.
I love this paper-thin walls.
Yeah.
And they, like, share the embassy.
Yep.
Like, damn. Conjoined twins and shit.
He says, so yeah, you do that for me and we'll see what we can do, but I've got a lot more paperwork to get back to today, so I'm gonna have to cut this meeting short.
Sounds good. I'm just gonna go probably talk to your neighbor, see what they have to say.
Just make sure they don't invade you.
You come back to the front desk and Sven is sitting there like kind of like shaking a little bit. He's still like really nervous around that big old minotaur back there.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
Are you done for the day, or?
Nah, I'd like to meet with the ambassador of Ludal.
Oh, certainly. I'll just have you walk outside and go in the other door, and I'll meet you over there in just a minute.
And he hops down and starts running for his little inside door that he has.
My goodness. Sure, we follow suit.
It's bureaucracy, baby. He leads you to the back room, and you enter this office, and sitting there is a Luxodon, elephant person. She stands up, and she says, oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Ambassador Pharaoh. Please sit down. Would you care for some graham crackers or maybe some fine cheeses from the kingdom? Oh, we do aim to please. And you just hear a grunt from the other side of the wall.
No, I'll be fine. Ebris, do you want anything?
No, thank you.
Oh, well, please sit down. Please sit down. I am always happy to meet with people, especially people who know better than to deal with stubborn-headed minotaurs. But I heard that you have a little problem with your mountains being mined.
Yes. My tribe lives on the side of the mountains, of the same side of the mountains as the Republic, and their mining operation is causing us some troubles.
Oh, well, I could certainly find you a solution. It's actually very helpful that it's a mining incident, because it just so happens that the mining guild actually operates on our continent, and so they aren't really controlled by either government there. So we can kind of negotiate our way into a better arrangement. But I will need your assistance with a little problem I've been having.
Everybody's got problems. What's yours?
Nothing too major. I heard you're going to be meeting with the Mage Guild later today.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of been giving me the cold shoulder lately, and it would just be wonderful, like so wonderful, if I could get a meeting with dear old Justyra. You see, the High Queen needs her guidance on some private matters affecting the kingdom, and we just really need to drive home the point that this matter cannot be delayed much longer. You do that, and I can see what we can do.
Like I told Mr. Griv, my impression is that the mages are all stuck up people, and I can't promise anything, but I will do my best.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, you just try your hardest, and we'll go from there, okay?
Sounds great.
And she holds out the tray of crackers and cheese and says, take one for the road.
I take one cracker.
Everest will as well.
And she just says, okay, back to work now. And you hear from the other side of the wall, wow, I'm glad you didn't invade them or anything. And you hear her say, will you just shut up about that? God, we crossed the border one time. And they just bicker back and forth as you leave the building. Is that all for what Vora and Eberus wanted to do around town?
That's it for Vora.
As you leave the offices of the ambassador, you are approached by two figures in wizard's robes with a bright badge that has a open eye on it. And one of them says, you're the little adventurers that our good friend Artie ran into down below, correct?
Yes, that would probably be us.
Aye, sir.
Wonderful, wonderful. The head of the Mage Guild has humbly requested your presence at a meeting this afternoon. Could you please accompany us back to the guild headquarters and we'll get squared away?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. They turn around and one of them claps their hands together and holds their hands out in front of them, and a little portal opens in front of them, leading into what looks like a well manicured.
Everest is going to counterspell? No. JK.
The portal leads into like a well kept office building. And do you step through?
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Gingerly, though, because considering the last time Everest stepped through a dimensional thing, he got zapped with an illusion.
Oh, yeah.
Old boy, don't
Everest
forget.
Everest is gonna be so paranoid.
Yep.
Oh boy, don't forget.
Thank you for listening to our show. For more content, including world maps, cast info, or additional podcasts, check out our website, oneuppodcasts.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at AreWeDeadYetPod and on Facebook at facebook.com/AreWeDeadYetPodcast. Intro and outro music composed by Salty Dog Company. Find them on SoundCloud by searching for Salty Dog Co. Spell dog, DAWG. Background music and ambience provided by tabletopaudio.com under an attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives 4.0 international license from Creative Commons. TabletopAudio.com really brings your games to life and is perfect for both adding in that background music to a podcast or for live sounds during gameplay to increase immersion. Check them out at TabletopAudio.com. Cover art by Ashley Steinke. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of the show. Bye!